This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell. Carl coming back from Vegas. He'll be back tomorrow, guys. Busy week. We're going to be at Twin Peaks in Buckhead on Thursday, Friday after Kennesaw. So come on, join the party, pal, as we get ready for more action with seven teams in the Sweet 16. Wow, that's nearly 50%. I did the math. Chris is in for Carl today. We start every hour of the program with a big old, hey, man, show's flying today. If you missed it, we spoke earlier with Ian Valentino, NFL insider from the 33rd team, and we've been reading a lot of stuff from Albert Breer today, and we were asking him about this Kirk Cousins deal. Basically, in a nutshell, Albert Breer says, if Cousins wants to go to a team where there's not going to be a rookie or a guy in the pipeline overlooking, you know, over his shoulder, well, what team is that going to be?
I don't know.
And if he's going to try to control this and you know, have, as he does have in his contract, he's got a no trade clause. He's got to sign off on where he's going to go. Where else is he going to go, Chris, if the Browns don't get their quarterback? That would be the only landing spot, because if the Titans go Cam Ward, the Giants go Shedeur Sanders, then basically Cleveland's the only shot we got to get him out off the roster in a trade.
Yeah, we saw Jameis Winston get signed by the Giants. To me, as we've been saying all show long, that just doesn't fit to me, having two veteran guys like that on the same roster with Jameis waiting in the wings, essentially, for Kirko to do what he did in Atlanta and screw the whole thing up. I don't see that happening. Cleveland, we know about their cap issues, Mike. We know that that's why they haven't traded for him yet, because they don't have the money to pay him or even eat a decent portion of what he is owed this season. So really what it becomes, at least in my opinion, and that's what Ian talked about as well, you're going to have to wait for somebody to go down. You're going to have to wait for a highly competitive team like the Packers or the Lions or somebody that is knowing that they have a chance to make a deep playoff run to lose their quarterback either in training camp or before the trade deadline to say, we're going to try to then get that third or fourth round pick.
The Miami Hurricanes had their pro day today, and the Giants are there. Everybody's there. The Titans are there. The Browns are there. Anybody who's picking in the top 10 makes sense to be there. By the way, I don't know what this was apropos of. They were coming from somewhere. I was driving down. We did a little staycation. I was driving back down to the South Side on Saturday, and I saw the University of Miami football team 18-wheeler on the connector.
So random.
Yeah, I don't know where it was coming from, unless they're just rolling through town, just advertising. Either way, I joked around. I said, it looks like rolling probable cause to me.
That's a good line.
That's a Florida State joke.
No,
anywho. But yeah, I did see them. But Cam Ward throwing, he did not throw it at the combine. Didn't have to. You know these guys, they want to throw the guys they're familiar with, albeit for one season. And he's throwing darts. He's got better arm strength than Shedeur Sanders. It's not a knock on Shedeur Sanders. That's just factin'.
Yeah, and apparently their big-time receiver, Xavier Restrepo, ran like a 4.9.
Oof.
It was not good for him. But he's
have to love the plucky white Spanish guy to make that move with that speed.
Yep. He did have a monster season, but apparently not exactly a trailblazing speed.
Oof.
But you know what? Drake London doesn't have trailblazing speed, and he's certainly made it work in the NFL as well. But back to the Cousins thing.
Right.
Mike, I really think what it's going to come down to, again, is a desperate team in desperate times saying, we are in a Super Bowl window and our quarterback goes down, because at this point, it doesn't make sense for him to go to any of these teams at this point. Like, the window for that was a couple of weeks ago when the game of musical chairs was going on, and now the only one left without a chair really is the Browns.
And the thing that you and I and Carl and I have been talking about is just how weird will the dynamic be in the locker room. If you heard the conversation last week, we had a former Falcon fullback, guy's guy, Ovie Mahaley, talking about, there'd be some elements in the locker room that'd be a little weirded out by the stuff that Kirk pulled. You guys remember, for those who don't, you've been living under a rock. here in Atlanta that, you know, Kirk says he's fine, he's not hurt, and then only to say at the Super Bowl, oh, no, I was banged up, to try to strong-arm the team and show that he's viable for another contract somewhere if you're dumb enough to make the move for him. Or do you say, and it was funny because ironically this afternoon while we're talking about Cousins, NFL Network reruns the game in Atlanta, the Thursday night football, with the unbelievable comeback. We're dead in the water with a few minutes left, and then we go on and win in overtime. That's arguably one of the best Falcon games of all time with a guy who sets the season, the single game passing record only to have the wheels come off subsequently just 4 weeks later.
The Kadarius Hodge walk-off that earned him another year in Atlanta, Mike Bell, right. Essentially.
Crazy. But anywho, we're just laughing as we're watching that. It was, I know I joked around. Yes, I did start the game in section 342, and I finished it in section 142. Like a lot of people, we were heading for the exits, but we didn't leave the building. Thank you.
It's not your fault.
Hey, man, but where do you go with this? Okay, so let's just say we play it out. Carl's always maintained that they will keep him, hoping for that thing that you just mentioned Albert Breer was writing about. Injuries, team that doesn't get the traction whenever they were looking for, either in the marketplace or in the draft. So, yeah, you're not going to get anything for this draft. This draft is come and gone. It'll be a pick for 26. So then you have the prospect of him being here. So let me just throw it out there. I said this to Chris on Friday, said it earlier. There was a guy, Manny Ramirez, one of the best players of his generation for a number of years. But he's a nut. He's a fruit. He's just wackadoodle. I mean, he's just goofy. And the Red Sox, the phrase was, that's just Manny being Manny. Well, do you feel there's going to be guys in our locker room that say, look, We believed in Kirk up until the time we didn't. Maybe they still believe in Kirk, and that's just Kirk being Kirk. He's just a very, I don't know, just strange duck. He's very flippant. He likes to talk to everybody. He does run his mouth a little bit, and that's just Kirk being Kirk. And I've got no problem with him as a Falcon. Him being my teammate, him backing up Michael Penix, and there it is.
Let me ask you this, because I think they do. And that question.
And I still think they do too. But we've had two NFL players said they'd have an issue with it. But as we said, does that maybe still play in 2025, where everybody just cares about themselves and making their own money, and they don't give a crap about what that guy did or what he said?
Do you think that the Falcons upper brass has a drop dead price for Kirk Cousins? Meaning we're going to
$17 million.
Yeah, we're going to accept a pick no lower than this, and eating the contract no lower than that? Or do you think they're going to be willing to get rid of him at whatever a team is willing to offer? Because, Mike, I think they have a drop-dead price. And I do think, after hearing everything we've heard, that they are going to keep him if they don't get what they want. And that's just something that everybody on the team, I don't agree with it. I know you don't agree with it. But unfortunately, it seems like they're going to stick to their guns on this one. I do think the locker room matters. I do think Michael Penix not having a ghost over his shoulder at all times matters. Mm-hmm. I think that stuff is real. But the Falcons and other people have said they don't care about that.
So the Falcons moving on with Kirk Cousins. You know, guys, from a media standpoint, you know, D-Led's going to be all over it. We'll be all over it. Can we get to, if Bass is listening right now with the Falcons PR, do we get to talk to Kirk? Because I'd like to ask Kirk, when were you lying? Were you lying in November? Were you lying in January, February about your injury? And is that something that you feel is, have you espoused a role of leadership on this team? Is that how a leader handles his business?
No, but he's not the leader of the Falcons anymore. That's the thing.
Right, and that's a question of the coaching staff, and that's a question of, you know, the interactions that you, I mean, look, we used to be a very soft town. I think it's gotten better and better. I think Carl and I, like, I'm not trying to toot our own horn. We take credit for trying to ask tough questions and be, you know, dogged and stuff. D-Led does it. And there's a lot of guys now that are in that media room that do. And for many years, it was like a country club, just like it is covering baseball. Nobody asks any tough questions. They're getting better at it. But I do think this is legit because it is a controversy. We've talked about it all year because we're not making this up. This occurred. We were off to a 6-3 start. We're in the catbird seat for the division. This guy loses it.
In a way that's never been seen before. And everybody speculated. There was rampant speculation about what was going on. And ultimately, it was nothing, or so we were told. Right. He was on the injury report for one day. And then it came out, like you said, at the end of the season that this guy was hurt. So I always go back to, you know, if I'm Chris Lindstrom, if I'm Jake Matthews, mm-hmm. and I see this guy walk back into the locker room, I'm like, dude, you're what are you?
Right.
Man?
But as I said, I just, you know, we're coming at it from a certain perspective of like, that's below the line. That's not. And then also asking the owner of the team, hey, you got to trade me to a team where I can start. Okay, where? You know, if the Giants go Shador Sanders, as we said, if the Titans go with Cam Ward, then it really leaves the Browns. And the Browns may sign Russell Wilson In which case, we got nothing. We're SOL. And then you just have to eat it and release it. Then there's the next $64,000 question. Let's just say that's the scenario. Then what do you do?
I don't think they're going to cut them, Mike.
Then you keep them. Then you have to roll with it, everything we just talked about.
And that, to me, is a scary proposition because, Mike, there's a lot of players on this team that are fighting for contracts. There's a lot of players on this team that look for new deals in the offseason. So you're going to tell me that, God forbid, the Falcons go on a 2 or 3 game losing streak and Penix is part of the problem, that they're not sitting there thinking to themselves, man, remember that game we just watched, Mike, on TV where Kirk did all that stuff?
Right.
Is he not better for us right now? I got a contract due at the end of the year. I got to play well.
Stay tuned for that one, guys. The other thing that came out today, I was joking around with Chris that I guess CBS Sports, one of their writers. What's the guy we have him on the show?
Oh, yeah, Jordan DeJani.
So he's now an enemy of the Dukes and Bell program?
I don't know if I'm calling him anything.
He gave us a D-plus as far as our free agency. But as Chris said, you know, we have no money. There's only so much you can do. So I think the best we could have been is a C anyway. I like getting Leonard Floyd. He's a solid piece. He's an upgrade, albeit for 1 year. But I don't think that affects anything. I think you can still go edge if you feel you go direct. If you go directly to, I don't know, corner at the first pick, I still don't see that. I think it's tackle or edge rush.
For me right now, the secondary is done in terms of starters.
Because they got Mike Hughes. You know, I know that didn't really blow anybody's skirt up, but the numbers, statistically, he's in the top 25% actually of corners in the league. So even though his D-Led likes to bring him, quarterbacks drew for 66% against him, but
right.
It depends on whose metric you're looking at. PFF grades are pretty high.
Here's the thing. Is Clark Phillips ever going to be a starter for you? Because this is the maker. This is it.
Like the guy?
Give him a shot.
Love his fighting spirit. You know, the old Utah versus USC, him and Drake. We talked so much about that 2 years ago. But at times he gets exposed with his size, like the final game of the season in New Orleans two years ago.
Put him in the nickel, see what he can do.